You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Welcome to hour number two of the Roto Experts. We're here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and if you joined us from TuneIn or iHeartRadio or a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country, thank you very much. We appreciate you listening. Try to entertain you here for the next couple of hours. It's myself, Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, Scott the King Engel, going to be here for the next couple of hours before we hand it over to Weekend Fantasy Update. We've talked a bunch about the Steelers and some other NFL news, but clearly the big news this weekend, Scott, is that we have championship weekend. A divisional playoff weekend was tremendous. We had 3 one-score games. We can hope we can match the drama tomorrow as the AFC and NFC championship games kick off.
Yeah, very often these are some of the best games of the season. I'm expecting to be both of these games, though, to be lower scoring here. I think the four teams that are here all have something defensive to brag about.
Yeah, Corey, we got a 45, to Scott's point, 45-point over-under for the Jacksonville-New England game and a 39-point total for Minnesota and Philly. It doesn't get too much lower than 39 in an NFL game, so maybe not expecting too many points, certainly in the NFC game.
Defense, definitely the story with the teams that are in the Final Four this year. Outside of New England Patriots, you see some of the top defenses. Minnesota, excellent defensively this year and was last year and once again this year. Philadelphia, real stout up front, can barely run the football against them, even better at home. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, you still have people out there saying that they could be a historical defense. Scott poo-pooed that notion last week. Then he went out there and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. So let's see.
Yeah, how many points did they give up?
I guess
how
Scott
many points
will talk
did they
down.
Give up?
I guess Scott will talk them down again.
They gave up more points and a half than the Bears and the Ravens ever did in the entire preseason, entire postseason.
What are you talking about?
They won the game because the Jaguars did, but not when their defense was picking it up. The offense came and delivered. That is not an all-time defense. They gave up more points and a half than the Chicago Bears did in the entire postseason.
That defense created critical turnovers and critical
spots. You cannot compare them to the Bears, the Buccaneers, the Seahawks.
Let's see what they do this week.
None of those teams gave up 20 points in a game, much less a half.
What if they're in the Super Bowl? If they're in the Super Bowl 2 weeks from now, Scott, then you have egg on your face.
No, I don't, because none of those teams I mentioned gave up 40 points in a game.
Yes, Antonio Brown, it's Corey. Antonio Brown took AJ Bouye's lunch last week.
Antonio Brown is all.
They gave up nearly 500 passing yards.
Antonio Brown is an all-time great wide receiver. That's not fair to put that on the young man.
The Bears had to play Jerry Rice.
Oh, but they're so great though.
The Bears played Jerry Rice and all that kind of stuff when they went through.
They're a good defense, but they're not an all-time great.
I think last week's game actually prevents them from being put in that discussion as good as I think they are. I think they're the best defense.
Go in the refrigerator and get yourself.
You're talking to a Pittsburgh Steelers fan and a Seattle Seahawks fan. So
they lost. I didn't even mention them.
I mentioned the Bears and the Ravens and the Buccaneers.
Invested in those.
All right, we'll come back after this argument.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, we got those polls up at FNTSY Radio. Will Le'Veon Bell play for the Steelers in 2018?
It's a tight race. 51% say yes, 49% say no. There's plenty of time left on that one, too. We'll update the polls before we get out today. And we'll get to the poll, the Pats. We're going to talk about this game now. The Pats host the Jags as 7.5-point favorites. What's your call? Do we think the Pats are going to cover, the Jags cover but lose, or the Jags win outright? That one's kind of right down the middle. We got, like, even right now the Pats covering is in the lead. But you got 30% of the people thinking the Jags are going to win it outright. It's probably jaded by how much people hate the Patriots, but it is what it is. So we'll update
people,
that one.
People love a narrative. It's, you know, the Jaguars are the narrative right now. Everybody wants to see the Patriots knocked off America. You know, everybody hates America's team, the Patriots, right now. So, you know, this is what it's all about.
Please stop. Please don't do that.
I'm not going to reply to that, Mike. Mike, before we get into this game, right quick, I want to touch back on Le'Veon Bell, right quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
If I'm Le'Veon Bell and I want to get this money from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'm coming at them, I'm having my agent come at them as, not only am I the best running back in the NFL, I'm also one of the better wide receivers in the NFL. You're getting a 1,300-yard running back, and you're getting the guy that can catch 70, 80 passes. I want to be paid as number one. Exactly. I want to be paid as number one wide receiver, a number one running back, and number one wide receiver, because that's what my worth, that's my value to this team.
I get it. But he's not going to be able to negotiate like that. I understand exactly what you're saying. He's not going to be able to negotiate it like that simply because it's going to be, I mean, it's going to be far too much money that would end up being. If he wants to get paid like a number one wide receiver in that range, it's more money than he'd be getting now, and it's more money than any running back gets. So I understand it, and if he gets the franchise tag this year, I think it would be in the range of $14 million. Add it to the 12 that he got this year. That's 26 guaranteed in 2 years. The Steelers had put a deal on the table, which was a quote-unquote long-term deal that would have provided him with 30 in guarantees. So they could argue and say, we already have offered you more money, but clearly, you know, it's obvious what they're trying to do. Le'Veon Bell's trying to get the big payday now after putting up an MVP-worthy season.
Exactly.
Touching the ball over 400 times.
He's a running back in that brutal division. We just saw what happened to Shazier in one of those games in that division. You hear how the Pats pop. He's been hurt in those games before. You have to give me a long-term deal to secure, so I can be secure in what I do. If you don't want to be like the guy from the Jets, what's his name? Leon Washington, was that him? Who did a handshake deal, more or less, and then come out there and tear his knee up the first play of the next season? Never heard from him again.
I think ultimately a big problem for the players is they should negotiate away the ability to franchise tag twice. It locks it. It's particularly tough at running back because these guys come out, say they come out their junior year, and if they're a first round pick, they're under control for 7 years. It's no different from a baseball player. It's a 4-year contract. They exercise a 5th-year option, 2 franchise tags in a row. They can even do a transition tag after that. But it's not a great scenario for these guys. I'm not crying in my beer for them necessarily, but there is far less flexibility at the running back position because a team knows if they got 7 good years out of a running back, then they're just going to move on.
Right? Yeah, and the running back,
22-year-old running back, he's 29 at the end of it. They're not going to sign him to a deal then.
No, yeah, but you know, you talk about the age though, right? 26, and I agree with you that you don't put it's not the age, it's the amount of mileage maybe on the running back. But I don't think he's quite there yet, and I think a lot of teams will make the investment for the next 2 to 3 years, you know, and take the hit when he's not, maybe can even be 30, et cetera. And look, you know, there's always Frank Gore. You know, there's always examples of like that. That, you know, every running back is different. Look, you got to pay the price if you want the top running back in the league. But you know, it's not impossible to come by. You know, they can get a running back. But as good as he is, the offensive line is very good too. But then again, you know, it's a very, very unique skill set. So the Steelers are going to have to pony up.
He's changing.
It's why I think he's going to lead, Scott. It's why I think he's going to leave, is what you just said, because somebody would do it. Somebody else would do it. He's young enough and unique enough that somebody else would do it. That's why I think the Steelers might look in another direction. As valuable as they know that he is, they might look in another direction because they can get some compensation potentially for him. Even as he's franchise tagged, somebody might look to move on that. So anyway, it's a fascinating discussion, right? There really aren't a lot of times you see running backs like this. They get to this point when they're 28. He's 25 as we're talking right now. There is another team that can conceivably do it, and the Steelers might just say, we're moving on. There's too many risks for us because he's had an ACL, because he's got NFL drug policy discipline issues. It's what I've talked about with them in the past. Now, he's kept his nose clean for a really long time, and he's been healthy. So you could counteract that argument saying that stuff's all in the past. He was a knucklehead when he was 23. He's 26 now. Yeah.
He hasn't been caught.
Yeah, true. Fair point. He did miss 3 drug tests.
Yeah, exactly.
As far as we know, he doesn't hang out with Garrett Blunt anymore. So it's a positive in that regard. But anyway, it's close. As the fans are voting here, the listeners are voting here, they're about 50-50. It's that kind of call. If the Steelers ponied up the money, it wouldn't shock me at all. But I tend to lean in a different direction. What's a bummer about it, obviously, is that even though he's coming back next year, Roethlisberger's at the very end of his career. The very end. A couple of years, maybe. I thought he was going to walk after this year. He seems to have got a breath of fresh air. That news, Todd Haley was going to be fired. But when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, you don't really want to start getting rid of pieces. They're just going to figure out a way to do it. Scott mentioned James Conner earlier. Maybe they think he's a guy that can help them in a transition period to a new long-term running back. Or maybe he is that long-term running back, Scott.
Yeah, it could be, and they might have drafted him with an eye on maybe being more in the handcuff if, in case something happened. This is a smart front office.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question from my friend Robin from Tampa, loyal listener. She's in a one-and-done playoff format. She already used Gronk. She has, she has Ertz and Rudolph available. So she's thinking, should she play Mercedes Lewis or Dwayne Allen, or roll the dice, play Zach Ertz, and hope Minnesota wins so that she can use Kyle Rudolph in the Super Bowl?
I would go with Zach Ertz.
I would go with Ertz. I'm not messing with Rudolph. I think that ankle is still an issue. I was talking about this with Mr. Sussman during his class yesterday, and the teacher disagreed with me, but I really don't think that you get much out of Rudolph. It's touchdown, boom, or bust right now.
But you could maybe, with a couple of weeks rest after this game, maybe Rudolph's a little bit better in time for the Super Bowl. So
yeah, you're hoping. You're talking hopeful, yeah. But I'm talking what I see, you know?
She's just worried about playing like Brent Celek or Dwayne Allen in the Super Bowl, but it is what it is. Sometimes you exhaust these options.
Look, one of those two teams is going to make it, and if not, look, maybe you take a wild card on Mercedes Lewis. You know, you're going to have to. It's not going to be an ideal situation when you're playing in a playoff league, and you got to do what you got to think about this week in survival.
I agree to that to some extent. So, Robin, if you're listening, Zach Ertz is the call from this crew. You'll have to figure out a different option in the Super Bowl. Well, we're going to talk about Jags-Pats, and we are going to talk about Jags-Pats. Gronk obviously is going to be the big story there. It is going to be an interesting matchup considering the amazing part about last week. I know the Steelers had to throw the ball a ton, and Antonio Brown had that big game, but one of the amazing stats that came out of it is the 16 targets to Vance McDonald. Had double-digit catches last week, Corey.
Yeah, I wasn't. That was quite interested to see that take place. But I was like, okay, this is something new inside the offense. So, Mike, I was quite shocked. I'm speechless on that one. I did not know what to say about that. So it goes. So this time of year, you can really get anybody in the mix.
Well, it's also concerning because Vance McDonald had double-digit catches against this Jaguars defense, Scott, and they're playing the best tight end by a country mile in the NFL this week.
Yeah, nobody can cover Gronk. It's he's either too fast or too big, period.
So, I would put Ramsey on him.
Oh, even Ramsey, he'll have trouble, I think.
for the whole game, Corey, that's the problem. They do a great job of mixing up weapons. So if Ramsey was taken out, who's on Brandon Cooks and who's on whoever else they decide to get open on a particular play, a Hogan or Amendola or one of the running backs?
Tom Brady's not healthy, though.
Well, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. I don't think it's going to have any impact on the game tomorrow. I just don't.
It's going to be
interesting. And if I'm wrong, so be it. And I'll buy a Jaguars jersey and wear it in a couple of weeks.
Great.
Sorry. Come back. We'll talk about this game in a minute.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the program in there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. Just give you a sense of what's going on today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're here until noon, and then from 12 to 2, it's Joe Galina, Frank Stample, and Mike Florio on the Weekend Fantasy Update. 2 to 4, it's the producers with Pete Considori, Chris Pavona, and Kevin Walsh. From 4 to 6, it's Fantasy Football, it's Fantasy Gold with Tony Cicada and Kevin Walsh. And then we have Old School Fantasy, that's with Corey and Matt Modica. And then the Fantasy Hall of Fame Hour with Scott Engel, and you interviewed Gene McCaffrey, correct? Yes. You get a lot of great information all day today on a variety of different topics, not just football, where there'd be a lot of content, but also a little basketball, baseball, mixing that in. So Scott mentioned earlier in the program that we have a variety of nominations for the Fantasy Sports Writers Association Awards, which are going to occur at the FSTA conference this Monday, Tuesday in Los Angeles. 13 different nominations. Tom McFeely, Chris Mitchell, this radio program, which is on currently 6 days a week from a Monday through today. Best Fantasy Baseball Publication. We have Tim McCullough, who is nominated. We have Cam Giangrande and Jake Seely, as our very own Scott Engel, nominated. Tom McFeely for a second award. And then Mike Florio for Football Writer of the Year. That would be a tremendous honor for Mike, who is a great addition, not just on air here, but also as a writer of a variety of different content. So we have 13 nods overall. Mike Leone is the one that 15. I did mention. There you go.
15.
So
it's a record.
Even better. Good stuff. So Mike Florio, Mike Leone also. In fact, we swept one of the categories. Let me find that one where we're only people
baseball
nominated.
Series.
Best baseball series.
Best baseball series, yeah.
It's Jake versus Scott and Mike Leone from Daily Roto, who is part of the same family, same company as we are. So we're going to get a W. We're going to get at least one W, hopefully many more. And we already got one in, and I want to give him a ton of credit, to Drew Dinkmeyer, who won the first ever Humanitarian of the Year Award. He did a great job of putting together a fundraising campaign. He centered it around his birthday, and he raised over $40,000 for, he called it the Welly Maker. And it's basically a charity that benefits or dedicates itself to providing clean water to people all around the world. So kudos to Drew for raising over $40,000. He's got another campaign right now. You can follow him online. It is at, I want to get his, make sure I have his correct.
All the information is on rotoexperts.com right now, too.
So there you go. And you can go to at Drew Dinkmeyer on Twitter. He's got a post up that will sort of shuttle you to the right place if you would like to donate. I certainly will, and I encourage everybody to do so. So I just want to do a little bit of that. It may not be of interest to everybody out there, but I want to pat us on the back and certainly give a nod to Drew for such a great charitable effort. So let's talk about the games. Jags, Pats. We talked about started talking about Gronk in the previous segment. In his past six postseason games, 512 receiving yards, seven touchdowns. He aims for his seventh playoff game in a row with a touchdown catch. So he's obviously the number one weapon on the field here, Scott. What are the Jags going to do here? They got defenders all over the field. You talked about Jalen Ramsey, Telvin Smith. The guy had a record 16 tackles and a fumble recovery touchdown last week. They couldn't stop Vance McDonald. So what's going to happen here?
This is a danger of the Patriots offense and, you know, the biggest test for the Jacksonville defense, because yes, you stop Gronk, you shut him down, but then they can beat you in other ways. They can throw the balls to the running back. All of a sudden, Danny Amendola can come out, pretend he's Julian Edelman again, because you know, Gronk, if he's not putting up the numbers, he's opening it up for other people to put up the numbers. So they can put Jalen Ramsey on him. It can limit his ceiling, etc. But then, you know, the running back's there. You got Burkhead back. You got James White. So there's a variety of ways that they can beat them. But, you know, you're also talking about Brady's hand. I think there's going to be a lower scoring game here, though, and that the upside for Gronk is kind of capped here.
So Corey, Leonard Fournette, 109 yards, three touchdowns, the only NFL rookie with 100 yards rushing and three rushing touchdowns in a postseason game. He obviously was tremendous all year. Patriots defense has improved throughout the year, and people were calling it historically bad at the beginning of the year. They kind of worked out some kinks, and they have done a good job of what they always do, limiting points, even if they're not limiting yardage. They probably key in on Fournette here, try to make Bortles beat him. I think that's pretty obvious, right?
No doubt. Bend but don't break defense is what they kind of specialize in with the New England Patriots. Leonard Fournette obviously is going to be a big piece. He's going to be the focal point, to quote the great Adam Ronis. He's going to be the focal point of that offense, Leonard Fournette. But ran it well last week versus Pittsburgh. I expect him to run it well again this week. But also, the way they've been mixing in T.J. Yeldon has been very impressive also. Yeldon's quietly having a very good season, catching the football out of the backfield, giving them a change of direction as far as when it comes to working with Leonard Fournette. So I do like what the Jacksonville Jaguars have been able to do running the football. As far as on the passing side, it's a different story.
Yeah, but I'll try to spin it positively, Scott. Was Bortles Hall of Fame worthy last week? No, but he made some really big throws in the second half, and he helped them to win that game. You can point to a variety of different plays in that game that helped them to win it, and they needed all of them. But Bortles made some really key throws, especially in the fourth quarter, and they got away with the win.
Look, he did enough that when the defense wasn't getting it done in the second half, the offense stepped up in a variety of ways. But this is going to be a much tougher matchup. You're not going to drop 40 points on this team. Historically, the Patriots been a bend and not break offense. Four times in the last 10 years, including this year, they've been 25th or worse in total yardage and always in the top 10. And this year in the top 5 in terms of points allowed. And when you're talking about going against Matt Patricia and Bill Belichick, Blake Bortles is not going to find ways to beat them, and I think that's going to be the difference.
I don't see where Matt Patricia is this great defensive mind. I think that's a little bit of a stretch, but I do think that Bill Belichick...
They're always top 10
difficult.
In points allowed, always. They're better than the Steelers is what I'm saying.
I'm not buying the Matt Patricia thing. That's what I'm saying, okay? Did I make myself clear
on
that?
They're better than the Steelers. Did I make myself clear on my original statement, Mrs. Parson?
Okay, so they're better than the Steelers, but I'm not.
Yeah, it's not going to be as easy.
The New England Patriots team as a whole, especially when it comes to defense, is better than what we saw. It'd be better than what we saw last week with Pittsburgh. I can definitely agree to that. But when you start putting Patricia's name mentioned, I'm like, okay, relax. That's all I'm saying.
You know, it's the first time in NFL history that the four teams playing on championship weekend are top five in NFL scoring defense. The Patriots, despite the fact that they're 29th in the league in yardage allowed, are a top five scoring defense during the regular season this year. The Eagles are fourth, and then Minnesota and Jacksonville are I believe, one
See,
and two.
I think that has the – Mike, at some point, yeah. I think that – That's going to shake out. That's luck right there. That's like, what's the baseball thing? That's like BABIP. You feel what I mean? Like, dead. They just people are just not
totally
scoring in the red zone.
They've done it for the last 10 years.
Because they do this consistently. Some of the Super Bowl teams that they have had, some of the Super Bowl winning teams they've had, Corey, were not locking people down from the 20 to the 20. But when it comes to red zone defense,
this is Patriots tradition.
They will allow teams to grind it out a little bit between the 20s because they know eventually a player like Bortles will make a mistake.
No, or well, exactly. They know eventually that the player will make that the quarterback, instead of giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch, or throw a one-yard interception. They see stuff like that happens to the Patriots. And eventually,
no, it doesn't
point,
happen.
That's going to stop.
The Patriots
that's
did
going
that
to stop.
Because they were well prepared to do that. They saw the play
totally
on the film and they jumped the route. That's what the Patriots do.
But
the end of Super Bowl 49 is exemplary.
Would have gave the football to the running back in the backfield. It wouldn't have been no route.
They did on first down.
We don't know that. We don't know that.
They did on first down.
They did on first down, and he got tackled. They had eight guys, and they had eight guys selling out against Lynch. That's why they threw.
Do it again on Look, second.
The Patriots were prepared.
If you want to do the Patriots get a lot of breaks,
yes.
Thing
they
like
do.
the Titans yeah, game last week was indicative. They got a bunch of calls, they got a ton of breaks, and it was maddening me watching the game. But they take advantage of all of them, and they do make plays. Like Scott said, the Seahawks got as big a break at
that.
The end of that Super Bowl as the Patriots did, maybe. But the Patriots
it
made
didn't
the play.
Happen to them. They made it happen.
Yeah. So I get it.
Yeah. I asked Tony Romo about it, but he's never been in that situation.
It's similar. Like, you're a Yankees fan, Corey. People used to complain at those late 90s Yankees teams. Oh, they get all these breaks. It's like, all right. But every time they get one, they win a game, and they win a series, and they win a ring. It's the same kind of thing that's happening. It seems like they get a lot of breaks, but it's also because whenever they get one, for example, Brady threw a really interceptable pass at the end of the Steelers game a month ago. And the Steelers didn't catch it. And then he drove down the field and Gronk went off and they won the game. So, and yeah, the Jesse James play, all that kind of stuff. They take advantage of the breaks. That's what the difference is. There's other teams out there getting breaks. They don't take advantage of it to the extent that the Patriots do. We'll continue talking about this game.
But this lore of the New England Patriots is it bothers me.
I'm a Steelers fan. I didn't think it much bothers me.
Everybody's tired of the Patriots, but it is what it is.
They're just the best team. They're the best team. They take advantage of these breaks. I don't want to see them win again. I don't know. I think this Brady thing, I'm convinced it's gamesmanship, and it's disrespectful to say it if the guy's actually hurt, but I think there's more gamesmanship than injury to this situation. But we'll continue to talk about this game because we want to give you available fantasy options and all that kind of stuff too. If you had a bank on one Patriots running back, Corey, who would it be?
They like Burkhead, but I think Jimmy White is the guy. But it would be hard for me to look away from Burkhead.
What do you think, Scotty? Burkhead or White? Who would you use?
I'm still going to say Deion Lewis.
Mm. Got it. Well, between Burkhead or White, who would you pick between the two?
I'm going to take Burkhead.
Yeah. That's a decision a lot of people are going to have. We'll continue talking about more about this after the break.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Right here. Prince during the government shutdown edition of the Roto Experts.
How about that? Hey, Mike, this is Scott. This is Scott's
wheelhouse
right here.
Going ham down in Washington. Is it?
This is Scott's wheelhouse right here. You know these last couple jams, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Prince. This is when Scott was tearing up the clubs in Long Island back in the 80s.
Scotty Love.
Yeah, this song Scotty is about Love, when right? the Cowboys used to last be good. It's called 1999.
He need to make one called 1986 for the Mets.
About 2015.
Well,
they win nothing.
If you start playing some Van Halen and David Lee Roth, that's like the Mets sweet spot.
How about January 19th? How about January 19th, 2018?
What's that?
That's when Corey started becoming a Warriors fan.
Yeah. Whatever. Warriors and Rockets tonight. Primetime. Warriors and Rockets night in primetime. That's going to be a goodie.
Yeah. And their esports teams are playing each other on the same night.
No, nothing
so
about
where,
that.
Where would we catch that? Where would we catch the esports team?
Twitch.
Say I don't want to watch Steph Curry. I'm done with Steph Curry and James Harden. Where do I
you
pick
go
up
watch, You go watch team? League of Legends on Twitch.
All right, there you go. So you can find it there. All right, let's continue to talk about do you know who led the AFC in sacks this year?
Oh, that's interesting.
AFC in sacks.
Calais Campbell
Jones led. There you go. Good job, Corey. So Calais Campbell with 14 and a half sacks. Chandler Jones led the NFL with 17. Former Patriot, by the way. They're really missing him as they on the precipice of making another Super Bowl. So Calais Campbell with 14 and a half sacks. Your boy DeMarcus Lawrence tied Calais Campbell, Corey, with 14 and a half. But the reason
big,
I bring it up is because... Yeah, so the reason I brought it up is because, as we know, it's no secret, any quarterback is going to get is going to struggle when there's pressure, especially up the middle, and it's where we've seen Tom Brady struggle in postseason performances in the past or in postseason games, famously against the Giants in the Super Bowls, but also against Denver, AFC Championship games, and other games where he was similarly facing pressure, whether it was from the Jets or the Broncos or whomever else. So... Do you think they can get this done, Scott? I guess that's my big question to you. Do you think the Jaguars will be able to apply enough pressure, Tom Brady's thumb injury, hand injury aside, to be able to throw him off his game?
I think so. But I think the issue for them is I don't think they're going to be able to get enough done on the other side. I think Brady and the Patriots will find a way when it's all said and done, as the cliche goes here. I don't expect Brady to have an outstanding game. I think the fact that they do have three healthy running backs, though, you know, gives them an opportunity to give Jacksonville a lot of different looks. I think that the Patriots are going to outcoach the Jaguars. They have the better quarterback still, and I think that's what it's going to come down to.
He kind of has yet to outcoach Tom Coughlin. I understand that Doug Marrone is the guy that's coaching this team.
Yeah, but Coughlin's not the coach, yeah.
Some of that wisdom will come down upon Mr. Doug Marrone.
Well, he better run down his sidelines in the second quarter.
Why is that, Scott? Oh, you're talking about Coughlin.
He's not the coach.
No, he's not the coach, but I get what you're saying. But I'm quite sure Tom Coughlin is in the meetings this week, help putting this plan together.
Is he going to play quarterback?
No, he's not. But he helped beat the team twice. He know how to scheme against this team. But that's an advantage.
Yeah, when they had Eli Manning, not Blake Bortles.
I understand what you're saying, but we're talking about the defense versus offense. That pass rush is what we're referring to, Scott. If you heard what Mike said, the way he set it up,
I know
Calais Campbell,
I know
the defense. You understand what I'm saying now, Scott? Are you following us?
You're taking the train off the tracks. Woo woo.
So, let me try and put the train back on the tracks. You know, it's an interesting thing here too when it comes to the Jags. 10-6, they win the division. They're going to break what was going to be an NFL record. They had a top five pick 5 years in a row, so they'll avoid doing it for the sixth year in a row. They're 10-6. They've now won two playoff games, and I understand that honors will go to Mike Zimmer or possibly Doug Peterson for being coach of the year, but you have to give Doug Marrone a lot of credit for winning his 12th game as he gets to the AFC Championship game. This wasn't a coach that people had a ton of faith in. He got the gig by playing pretty well in an interim situation, and now he finds himself, and I think it is sort of underrated how he and Tom Coughlin have probably worked well together to transform this team from a bottom feeder into the AFC Championship game in 1 year, Scott.
Yeah, it's very, very impressive, you know, what they did. I think they're a year away. Yeah, but it's very impressive what they got.
But it could be the Super Bowl. So, you know, if not, it's going up against the New England Patriots. It's a tough spot.
How many teams have actually come in and won in Gillette in the playoffs?
Two teams.
Yeah.
The Ravens. twice, I believe, and the Jets. I think that's it.
Yeah,
right?
How about that? So hopefully we can add the Jacksonville Jaguars to that mix. But when you look at it like this, I think this is a team that we've seen the draft picks. We saw how the defense was coming together. We knew it was going to come at some point. We just didn't know it was going to be this quickly, that they would be to this far. And I think they continue to get better. But I think that division also continues to get better, too. So it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out in these years going forward. Quarterback play could be better. But as far as what they have, the cornerstone of that team is that good young defense. They should be together for a while. And hopefully that everybody can stay healthy and stay signed. And they can continue to become one of the NFL's historic defenses.
Okay, so let me ask you.
They're not there yet. Nearly 40 points last week?
I'm not going to do it, Mike. Go ahead.
You've made your point clear.
Yeah, because you're wrong. Miss. Yeah,
you've made your point clear on it. So
he brought it up again.
I know. Robert McCaskey.
Mr. Blewett.
I get it. I'm just stating you've made your point abundantly clear that they blew any chance of being historically revered by allowing 42 points to the imploding Pittsburgh Steelers franchise. So,
all right, I'll stop. Rob Gronkowski. Hold on. My phone's ringing. Cardenas Cardano.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Rob Gronkowski would be, I would imagine, everybody's number one seed in this game for fantasy impact. Who would you pick after that? Maybe a couple of stars. Give me a couple of stars first, Scott.
I think I would have to go Leonard Fournette, although he's going to have to work really hard for his yardage. I'd probably rank him number one because I think the Jags are really going to limit Gronk. I think it's going to be very unpredictable about who the fantasy standout of this game is. I think the Patriots sell out against Fournette, but he still gets like 25 carries for like 85 yards and maybe a touchdown.
Corey?
I like both the backs in the backfield for the Jags with Fournette, and I wouldn't look past T.J. Yeldon either. I think Yeldon can go out there and have a nice shot this week. When it comes to the Jags wide receiver, I think it's too much going on in that scenario. Obviously, on the New England side, you want Rob Gronkowski. I like Burkhead a little bit more than I like White, and that's just off of speculation. Nothing really I can say to back that up, you know, but he's coming back. I know how much Bill Belichick does like to get him involved. And as far as New England Patriot wide receivers go, we haven't seen nothing much from Chris Hogan yet, making him too risky to play, so Brandon Cook seems to have the advantage in that light.
And then Amendola had a double-digit catch performance last week. So, you know, what is an advantage, too, for Brady? Say his thumb is banged up or his hand, whatever. They excel, and this is whether he's 100% healthy or not, they excel in getting Brady easy throws, whether it's to backs
it's
coming out of the backfield.
Week.
Yes, but if Scott, of what if they do any kind of a good job on Gronk, as Scott implied, there's tons of options for Brady. Whether it's backs coming out of the backfield or getting Amendola in space or Hogan if it comes out of nowhere. I mean, we've seen this before. A guy doesn't play, we don't see anything from him. And we haven't even mentioned Brandon Cooks. There's Brandon Cooks on his
team.
Yeah,
this is what happens in the postseason is that the guys you don't expect to step up sometimes end up being the heroes. And there are some guys like James White who just – they step up in the playoffs more than anything else. Like when those lights are the brightest, you know, these are the guys you expect it from. James White has his 179 scrimmage yards and 5 touchdowns in his past two – in his past two postseason games. Since 2015, he has 15 touchdown catches, including the playoffs, most among NFL running backs. So yeah. James White, you know, they break him out when it's time.
Like, look, last year is a perfect example for them. As you said, they break him out when it's time. He goes off in the Super Bowl. Who went off in the AFC Championship game? And we hadn't seen much from him during the year. It was Chris Hogan. He annihilated
big
the Steelers. He annihilated the Steelers with 2 long touchdowns, and this is something that could happen. You know, we haven't heard much of Brandon Cooks, but maybe he's the guy because they got Ramsey. Just hypothetical, they've got Ramsey on ground
Brady
for part of the game, and then Bouye's got to cover Cooks. Brown ate Bouye's lunch last week. You never know. It could be Cooks. It is always a very difficult thing to figure out.
Is Tom Brady healthy enough to get the ball onto the receivers on the outside? Is he healthy enough to do that?
Yeah. That's the thing, and Brandon Cooks has become a role player, too. You know, so sometimes with guys with that sort of speed, you see him with Sammy Watkins in L.A. too, you know, but when they get on a team with a deep amount of talent, they become role players. And to Corey's point, can he get the ball to him downfield? You know, I don't know if Brandon Cooks can take a bubble screen and go 40 yards with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, Scott. What Scott said earlier, I do like Deion Lewis in this game. It's too easy for us to sit here and say Gronk's going to be great. So I'm just going to say I think Deion Lewis is going to play a big role here. Yes, they could spread it out to these backs. I could see all three guys getting five targets or more. So I'll say Deion Lewis gets enough touches to make him pretty valuable today. I think Corey has had an interesting call with T.J. Yeldon. Because you can get T.J. Yeldon in space, it doesn't necessarily have to be them hammering Fournette and Yeldon into the line of scrimmage 35 times. Although, I would like them to do that because it'll keep Tom Brady off the field, healthy or not. You don't want him on the field. That's the best off. Best defense is a good offense. As good as this defense is at the Jags, if they have a limited number of plays, they'll be even better rushing the passer. So come back, close out hour number two after this on the Roto Experts.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Our producer attentively listening to my reference about this being Scott's sweet spot when the Mets last won a World Series. This song was very popular. So, in any event, it wasn't
the start of every NBA game.
So
many of our listeners were not alive when the Mets last won a World Series, though.
Or when the Cowboys were last good.
We've got a young listening audience. We're really skewing.
1996.
We're skewing young. I like it. We're down with the millennials. So I didn't get a prediction from you guys on the Jags-Pats game. So let's do that. Corey, you're first. What do you think? Got a 45 over under 7. The spread has come down, by the way, a point and a half due to all this Tom Brady thumb hand nonsense.
The money line is dropping, too. I'm going to go New England 21, Jacksonville 20. I think New England speaks it out. I think they get it done. So there you go right there. I'm going 21-20. New England Patriots get to win. Jacksonville Jaguars cover the spread.
Hall of Famer Scott Engel.
I would say to New England 20, Jacksonville 16.
You guys like a close game. I'm not going that way.
It is. It's going to be lower scoring.
I'm not going that way. I'm going, let's go 23-14, Pats. So they're going to get the cover. Thank you for the point and a half, Vegas, because I'll take that point and a half and I'll run with it. I think if it comes down more, I'd be even more likely to have some action on that game. So that's the way we're going to go there. We sweep it with New England. I went with Scott's general point that I just don't think they're going to have enough on the offensive side of the ball to get it done. If they're limiting the rest of the league to a top five finish in scoring defense, I don't see the Jaguars being able to break that. If they're able to put tons of pressure on Brady, create some turnovers, yeah, different kind of ball game. But I don't see that happening necessarily on a huge level. Like, I don't think Brady's going to be terrorized tomorrow. So, anyway, that's it. That'll close the book on that game. We're happy to talk about it in the next hour, but we'll really focus on Eagles and Vikings in the next hour. But wanted to bring up one point. Through all the Le'Veon Bell stuff we talked about, Scott, we failed to mention, which we knew about, but failed to mention the fact that Le'Veon Bell basically missed the practice on Saturday last week. He came to the last 5 minutes of the walkthrough. and didn't really participate. He just kind of showed up at the end of it. The Steelers have a two-hour rule before games as to when players and coaches should show up. They want to be report to locker room 2 hours before the game. It is known that Le'Veon Bell and several coaches and players regularly violated that rule that was set by Mike Tomlin. But Le'Veon Bell basically, look, he puts up and he shuts up on the field, but just kind of checked out on the organization. He didn't like the way he was treated last offseason, so he wasn't going to go out of his way to be a good citizen necessarily.
No, people, he wants his money. You know, he wants what he feels he's deserving. It's as simple as that. You know, but although he did tweet after the game, he said, you know, very proud of my brothers on this team and, you know, will be back. So I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen. But, you know, Bell hasn't always been the model citizen for the Steelers either. You know, he's gotten suspended too.
Yeah, a couple times. So, yeah. Corey, you blame him for showing up late? He's obviously kind of drew a line in the sand by pulling a move like that.
No, Le'Veon Bell is letting the Pittsburgh Steelers know this is going to be a long off season. So get ready.
Yeah, get your popcorn ready. It's should be fun. Well, actually, some mock drafts came out this week. We'll talk about that in the next hour. We're obviously going to talk Eagles-Vikings right out of the break. And through the first part of the next hour, we'll bring in Pete Considori in the next hour to talk a little bit about what's going on in the producers later today. Right. So it closes the book on my Steelers talk for the year. That's all I can do. I got no more energy left. I can't talk about Le'Veon Bell leaving the Steelers anymore. Nick Foles, Case Keenum, who's pumped? Talk about that after the break on the road.